As we open your word together, Lord, might we rejoice, Father, as we are washed by the water of the word. Just fill us, Lord, with the knowledge of yourself. Might your spirit be active, Lord, and working. Might he be our guide, our teacher tonight, Father, as we study together. And we ask, Father, in the strong name of Jesus, amen. Well, grab your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. We're picking up our study tonight in Psalm 109. Psalm 109, sometimes called the Judas Psalm. It's a Psalm of David, and we read, "Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with the words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love." As David is crying out to the Lord about his position at this time, he is speaking about God's silence. And that could be very real to us too. Sometimes we're aware of God's presence, but it seems like he's not speaking to us. And that's where David was. He said, you know, these things are going on. I don't understand. These people are coming against me. And I love what he says. He says, but verse 4, I give myself unto prayer. And that really is the key, you see. When we find ourselves in that place, when God is silent for a season, we need to, by faith, realize that he's there. He's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And we need to be comfortable in that silence and simply begin to seek his heart, begin to talk to him about those things. Because one thing we know is doing rightly will sometimes bring persecution into our lives. We've talked about that many times. If you're going to walk with the Lord, going to be faithful to him and serve him, there are going to be times when you're going to be criticized. But prayer in the face of that adversity is the answer. We've seen it again and again and again in our lives personally, in this fellowship corporately. And I hope as we continue on in this year and into next year, as we see all the things that are going on around us, that we will in an ever-increasing fashion become men and women of prayer. Not only personally, but corporately as well, that we will treasure those times that we come together, whether it's on Wednesday evening when we pray, or Sunday morning when we pray, or Sunday evenings when we come together downstairs. I really want to encourage you to take advantage of that periodically. It's not like you have to be there every time, but there are amazing things that happen when God's people get together and pray and pray. And we'll be looking forward to another time of prayer and fasting in the coming days. I believe that the Lord would have us to do that. He goes on in verse 6, he says, "Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he has, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels, like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covers him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadows when it declines. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them when they looked upon me. They shaked their heads. David would say, let my enemy be brought down, Lord. Intervene on my behalf. Lord, I commit this to you. I'm willing to let you render judgment. He cried for God's judgment to be complete, but he also cried out for his help to be sure. And we can pray against the evil in our world. We can pray that God would turn the hearts of those around us that are caught up in evil. We need to pray that the Lord will break through and bring them to that place, to the knowledge of himself. I mean, he showed that grace to you. He showed that grace to me when we were wandering in the world, and he can do the same thing in the lives of those that we would say are perhaps coming against us. He goes on there in verse 26. He says, help me, O Lord, and save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. I love that. Verse 27, he says, Lord, I want you to move in such a fashion that people would look on what's going on and they will only be able to come to one conclusion. And that is, God, you did this. God, you did it. I didn't do it. No one else did it. God, you did it. And that's exactly where we want to be in our lives, because when that happens, God receives all the glory. People's lives are changed because all of a sudden they realize that God is real, that he's moving, and that he has a desire to have a relationship with them. Let them curse, verse 28, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. You are my salvation, God, David would declare. And we can declare the same thing. Lord, you're my salvation. If you don't save me, I'm lost. Not only eternally, but presently. Lord, I need your salvation on a daily basis, and he is saving us on a daily basis, not in terms of our eternal destiny. We know if we have a relationship with Jesus that that's sure, but he is saving us daily. He's protecting us. He's hedging us about. He's guiding and directing our steps. He's providing for us those things which we need to do, that which he has called us to do. And we can, with David, give him praise. I will greatly, verse 30, praise the Lord with my mouth. And that is something that we should be doing. We should be praising the Lord with our mouths on a regular basis to one another. Man, just so cool what the Lord is doing. Some of you, I get texts on occasion from people, man, you just don't believe it. The Lord is doing this and that and the other. And it's such an encouragement. You know, when the Lord's working in your life, pick up your phone. I mean, we're really quick to text what's going on in the political realm or, you know, at the workplace or whatever. Pick up the phone and use it for something profitable and tell people what Jesus is doing in your life. In Psalm 110, another Psalm of David, and we really see Jesus here. He says, the Lord, or Jehovah, Yahweh, said unto my Lord Adonai. So David said, the God of heaven said to the one that I call Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Speaking of Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in that beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent or will not turn. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There's so much wrapped up in those verses. We could spend a long time talking about that reality. But we see here that David tells us something about this one who is at the right hand of the Father. We would say that's Jesus. And he is the one who is there. He is our high priest. Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6 declare that. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. And we need his prayers, do we not? On a daily basis, we need to know that Jesus is interceding on your behalf and on my behalf. When the weight gets heavy, and we need to remember that he's coming to rule. Isaiah chapter 2 says this, "And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." We know that time is coming. Very soon, I believe, we're going to experience an event that we've never experienced before. It's called the rapture of the church. The trumpet's going to sound. The church is going to be caught up to be with Jesus. And by the way, keep an eye out on the news and everything that's going on around you. They have all of these things about UFOs and aliens and all of these things. Don't mistake the fact that they're going to use that to explain away the disappearance of the Christians. They're going to say aliens abducted them. It wasn't an alien and it wasn't an abduction. It was Jesus coming for his bride. That's you. That's me. That's exciting. It's exciting to me. The day of his wrath will come, though. The day of his wrath is coming. Revelation 6, verse 7 says this, "For the great day of his wrath is come." When the church is caught away, we know that it's going to begin that period of time that we call the tribulation. God's judgment is going to be poured out on this world, and it's going to be a horrendous time. If you ever read through the book of Revelation, you realize that. If you haven't read through the book of Revelation, I suggest you do that. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 promises a blessing to all who will read, hear, and listen to what's being said. It's not a hard book to understand. It comes with a divine outline. We find it in chapter 1, I think it's verse 17, where the Lord gives John the outline for that book of Revelation. And we need to dig in. We need to understand. We need to know that these things are coming. We need to see the churches, the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Right now, guys, we're in the church of Philadelphia, the church whose strength is small. Would you confess that? Our strength is small. But the Lord says, "But behold, I set before you an open door, and no man may shut it." So whatever God has called us to do, no one's going to interrupt that. And I love what I read the other day. One of the commentators said, "You know what? We are indestructible. We are invincible until the day that the Lord is through using us. He will see his purpose done in your life and mine until that day that he says, okay, it's time for you to come home." So exciting. You know, on Psalm, we looked at Psalm 111 on Sunday, which focuses upon the God of the Word. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. Psalm 112 is a wisdom song, along with Psalm 37 and Psalm 111, and it focuses upon the man, the woman of God, the one who is a lover of the Lord. He says, verse 1 of Psalm 112, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed, or oh, how happy is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments." I love that. He says, "Praise ye the Lord." We would render that hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, that is the one word that is universal across every language in the world. It's hallelujah. That when they're praising the Lord, whether you're in South America or over in Europe or wherever it happens to be, if they are going to praise the Lord, they're going to use that very same word, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the fact that the Lord's given us a universal word to praise him, and we will find joy as we do that. He says, "Blessed," or "oh, how happy is that man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. His seed," verse 2, "shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Oh, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. There's a richness, guys, that comes from being in relationship with Jesus. It's a richness of spirit, a richness of spirit. In spite of everything that's going around us, we have a richness of spirit knowing that we're in fellowship with the one who is the giver of all right things, the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so we need to run to him. He is our light in the darkness. And that's what he tells us. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious. When we find ourselves in the darkness, we know that the word declares that the darkness and the light are both alike to him. Psalm 139. And so in spite of what you're going through in the circumstances of life, he is your light. He is my light. He is our sufficiency. And he'll use that which we're going through for his glory and for our good. Sometimes it's hard to embrace that. But I like what one writer said. I read it years ago, and it says, when God has an impossible task, he takes an impossible man and crushes him. It can be a woman as well. You know, for Moses, it was 80 years before he was used by God. 40 years of crushing, if you will, on the backside of the wilderness of Midian, hearing one thing, bah, until God had him ready to lead an exodus. And the Lord will take you, he will take me sometimes on the backside of the wilderness, and he will allow us to hear one thing, whatever that message is for us, until we come to that place where we're willing to listen. A good man, verse 5, shows favor and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. I love that declaration. His heart is fixed. That's where we need to be. We need to have a heart that's fixed, trusting in the Lord. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you trust him? With everything that's going on in your life, with everything that's happening to me in my life, do I trust him? Do I believe that my God is good? That everything he does is good? That's a difficult question when we're going through the hard times. We need to know and understand that our God is good, and he is revealing his goodness to us in Jesus. Surely, verse 6, he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Trusting in the Lord at the end of verse 7, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. That is coming. There is no fear in steadfastness. That idea of having our hearts fixed, established, steadfast, firmly set as we walk with the Master hand in hand. As he says, you're going to make it. I'm going to give you the strength that you need. I will always give you the strength that you need. And it leads, guys, listen, it leads to hearts that are set afire. As we see the faithfulness of God, as we see his provision, as we enter into that special place, that secret place, that refuge in him. And we walk out of that place as the men Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out of that fiery furnace with a testimony about God's faithfulness because they walked with Jesus in the midst of the fire. You may be in the fire right now, but you need to know, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or to bed we go, whichever it is, Jesus was there, is there, and will be there with you and with me. Verse 9, he is dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The testimony of the true disciple, the confirmation of God's power Psalm 113 is the opening of Hallel Psalms, or the praise Psalms, Psalm 113 through 118. It's just a wonderful section of Psalms. They're sung at Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, those three feasts. You remember, those are the feasts that God ordained that all the people would gather, all the men would gather at Jerusalem for those three feasts. This week, by the way, beginning Friday night, begins the Feast of Trumpets, what we know as Rosh Hashanah, or the Jewish New Year. They've coupled those two together. But the Feast of Trumpets, that begins, that's the first of the fall feasts that will be fulfilled at Jesus' second coming. But it's a powerful time, because you see, for this last 30 days, they've been blowing the shofar, the trumpet, every day. And I think they blow it 100 times on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And it begins then, it takes them into what they call the days of awe, as they move towards Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So it's a powerful time for the religious in the land of Israel. And so we read in verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. There is a joy in filling our days with praise. To wake up with a praise on our lips, to have a song on our hearts. Have you ever been just going through your day and all of a sudden you realize you're singing and you didn't even know you were singing until you realized you were singing? It's just an overflow of what God is doing. I love that. We used to, our girls, when they were home, they every once in a while you'd hear them, they'd be doing something along, all of a sudden this song would pop out, you know? And it's just, it's wonderful to wake up praising the Lord, to pillow our heads praising the Lord. It is a choice. It is a choice. We can make our lives a bummer, or we can make our lives a blessing, based on how we approach life and the things that God has allowed to come into our lives. The world uses God's name, but it's not in praise. The world blasphemes the name of God, but for us, we can worship him. We can praise him and honor him. In verse 4, the Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Who dwells on high? Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with princes of his people. He makes a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Our God is above the heavens and above the earth. It says the whole of creation declares his glory, and yet he bows himself and draws us near to him. Guys, listen, he is over all the nations, and there's none like him. Man might shake his fist in God's face right now, and God allows it, but one day, every knee will bow. And that's what we know to be true. God's work in us changes things. Wherever you go, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you take the aroma of Christ with you. You bring that aroma into your workplace. You bring that aroma into the stores that you go into. Today, I was in a store and I ran into a sister in the Lord, and she was just sharing with me about a dear family, a brother that we went to school with, just passed away this last week unexpectedly, and the family is dealing with that, and we were able to pray for the family, just that the family would be destroyed, because so many families today are dysfunctional, they're broken, and it should not be. It should not be. We need to be praying for our families. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be looking for that reconciliation. You see, wherever the gospel goes, wherever the message of Jesus goes, the people are elevated. We are those who need to be elevating others, edifying others, We need to be speaking about that which edifies, not that which breaks down. You see, the barrenness of Israel's suffering that we see in the Old Testament is going to change one day. It will change one day because he's not through with the Jews. In Psalm 114, we read, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel was his dominion. A commemoration of God's deliverance, delivered from the land of Egypt, the iron furnace, the scripture calls it. And we know that Egypt is a picture of the world. You and I, we were in Egypt. We were in bondage. We were in that iron furnace until the Lord showed up and said, I've got a plan for you. I'm going to take you to a land that you've never been to, much like Abraham, if you'll just walk with me. And it says there, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel was his dominion. Judah means praise. Praise. Israel, governed by God. You see, that's what we can praise the Lord for, because we're governed by him. We choose to be governed by him. How awesome is that? The sea saw it, the world about saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and little hills like lambs. What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. The world can't stand before the power of God. The Exodus is promised to the people of Israel and for us as well, as we walk with him. And that water that it speaks of was brought forth to water a nation. We're being watered. The rock was smitten, Jesus. And because of that, the Holy Spirit was given, and the Holy Spirit is pouring out. We become rivers of living water flowing from our hearts, our lives, because the Holy Spirit indwells us. That's an amazing picture. In Revelation chapter 22, at the end of the book, we read, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water freely. We can come, Lord, to the Lord and know that he will water us, that he will refresh us. If you need refreshing, come to the water. Seek out those who can pray for you, who can lay hands on you, who can call for God's refreshment upon your life. So important for us to be able to do that. Psalm 115 is one of my favorite psalms. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. Praise the Lord. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. The glory is God's alone. We should never touch God's glory. We've seen the impacts of that, have we not, over the last number of years, as these people become elevated in ministry, and all of a sudden they consider themselves a little bit more than mere humans. And we see them begin to touch God's glory, and inevitably it brings them down, because God's not going to share his glory with anyone. He is sovereign, and he does what he pleases, and he does it rightly. He does it in righteousness. Listen, we don't have to defend God. We just have to bear witness to him. That's why we share the scripture. I can share my personal testimony, as can you, and that's fine, but that's not going to save a life. What will save the life is the word of God. That's what pierces the heart. That's what moves by the Spirit. That's when people begin to know and understand that they need Jesus. In verse 4, he goes on, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. And I love verse 8, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusts in them. We see in those verses the emptiness of the work of men's hands. We see this huge movement going on right now in the AI sector of technology, where they're declaring that they're going to replace God. God's no longer going to be necessary. They're going to rewrite the Bible so that everybody can really understand it, and they're going to change the world for the better. They need to read Psalm 115. God's not going to allow that, because as they do that, they're going to become like their God that they're making, empty and hard, empty and hard. We worship the one true God who is infinite. And guys, we are becoming like God the Son. That's good news. God is molding and shaping you. He's molding and shaping me. He's working out the impurities in our lives. He's put us on the potter's wheel and we're spinning, man. And sometimes it gets pressurized, right? We want to climb off the wheel. The Lord says, don't climb off the wheel. Stay on the wheel. A number of years back, we had a fellow come and he did a teaching about the potter's wheel. And as he did that, he was a potter and he had a station set up here. And as he was teaching, he began to make this beautiful, it ended up being a beautiful picture, but it was such an amazing example of what God will do as the master potter works on the lump of clay. That's what God's doing in your life today. That's what he's doing in my life. He's changing us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are a work of art. We're his poema, his poem, his work of art. You are a work of art. You need to know and understand that. O Israel, verse 9, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. That threefold call to Israel and to the priests and to the believers that trust God. He is their help and their shield. God is your help tonight. And he's your shield tonight. Keep him in place. Keep the armor in place. The breastplate of righteousness. Walk rightly before the Lord. No compromise. As we sing, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. He is both our helper and our protector, and he is all we will ever need. The Lord, verse 12, have been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth which he has given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down in silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. We need to realize, number one, that God is not a respecter of persons. He loves you. He loves me every bit as much as he loved Paul, or as he loved Abraham, or as he loved Sarah, or as he loved Hannah. He loves you. He loves me. We're the creation of his hands. And he has given blessings to us. Oh, how many blessings has our God given to us? And so we take those blessings and we offer them back to him in service. Just an acknowledgement of what he's doing. What he's doing. Psalm 116 is a Passover psalm, messianic psalm. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The psalmist is rejoicing in God, the God of deliverance. He would say, my God is gracious, he is righteous, and he is merciful. And he has not changed from the moment that this psalmist penned this psalm to this very day. He's still gracious. He is still righteous, and he is still merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. That's a principle. We speak about that which we believe in. If you're a political animal, you speak about the party that you believe in. You speak about the things that are happening. The same should be true in our relationship with the Lord. If we believe, we're going to speak. I was greatly afflicted, the psalmist said. I said in my haste, all men are liars. We say some really silly things when we're under pressure. Things we'd like to take back sometimes. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's a verse that we can always go to when we begin to mourn the loss of our brothers and sisters around the world, and these days in particular, are being martyred for their faith. We need to know, as much as that challenges us, God tells us that their deaths are precious to him. Their lives are precious to him. He's welcomed them into his very presence. What can we give to him? Our love. That's what he wants. He doesn't care about service. He cares about our hearts. Because he knows if he has our hearts, service is going to flow from that. It just becomes an overflow of what God is doing. Guys, listen, every Christian is called to service. Verse 16, O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant and the son of your handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifices of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Guys, listen, we need to stand up and be counted. We need to say so. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to be doing that with boldness in these days. So many people need to hear that reality. Psalm 117, Psalm 118, and Psalm 119. Psalm 117, shortest psalm, shortest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Don't worry, we're not going through it tonight. Psalm 118 is the middle chapter of the Bible. And verse 8 of Psalm 118 is the middle verse in the Bible. And it's interesting. It says in verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. So we see in Psalm 117, a celebration of the universal reign of Messiah. Just two verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. It is a call to the Gentile nations to praise Yahweh, and they will one day. His merciful kindness is indeed great towards us. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, Psalm 118, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endures forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endures forever. Can we say that? His mercy endures forever. Wait, everybody. His mercy endures forever. Good job. And it's true. It's true. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. Check it out. Mark that verse. Underline it in the margin. Say yay or praise the Lord or put a bomb out there or something. The Lord is on your side. He is on my side. He is not against us. That's such a great truth. Such a great truth. The Lord taketh my part, verse 7, with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We need to wisely invest our confidence. Our confidence doesn't belong in any worldly system because it's part of the system. And it will fail us. There's only one that will never fail us. All nations, verse 10, compassed me about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compassed me about. Yea, they compassed me about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. My wife got a call from somebody, and they had bees that got into a wall. And so thinking that they were honeybees, she took a box and went over there to capture them. Well, when she got close enough to the hole to see, it weren't honeybees at all. They were yellow jackets. That didn't work out too well. She didn't get stung, praise the Lord. But we find that the enemy is surrounding us like bees. Thou hast thrust me sore at me, verse 13, that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. And he always will, guys. He is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Make your home a place of righteousness. We need to go through our homes periodically and make sure that we don't have things in our homes that will pollute. So often that can happen, and it can happen very subtly. The right hand of the Lord, verse 16, is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. That gate, guys, is Jesus. He is our gate of righteousness. And we can enter into God's presence through that gate. And I so praise the Lord for that. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, verse 21, and art become my salvation. And here's prophetic of Jesus coming. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The coming of Jesus. We sing that song, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And we sing it with joy, and rightly so. But when you look at it in context of what's being said, it's speaking of the day that Jesus went to the cross. That's the day the Lord made. That's the day that he ordained, that Jesus would come, he would live amongst his people, and that he would go to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. And that's not the prosperity gospel. Lord, bless us with your presence. Lord, fill us afresh with your spirit. Lord, surround us with yourself. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Save now, it says, Lord. That word is Hosanna, right? Hosanna, save now. It's what they declared as they were coming down. What we call the triumphal entry, coming down the Mount of Olives, and they were laying the clothes out in front of the Lord, and they were showering him, waving the palm branches, declaring Hosanna. And the scripture says, blessed is he, the one proclaimed by the people, speaking of Jesus. Psalm or 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, Paul would say, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. We can give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift because it is Jesus. We need to pause to bless the Lord for the gift of his son. You and I have great reason to have grateful hearts And we should have grateful hearts every day, regardless of what's going on in the material world. We have a Savior who lives, who's at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf and on mine, our advocate. Jesus was bound by the cords of our sin to the altar, and he went there willingly. He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Can we say amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the declaration of the writers, Father, and so much wonderful truth, Lord, to be planted deeply in our lives, a reminder to us, Father, all that you are doing, all that you have done, all that you will do, Lord, all the as yet to unfold before us, Lord, but it's coming. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you would enrich every single person within the hearing of this teaching, Lord, that you would encourage them and strengthen them and fill them afresh with your Spirit, Lord. Might they leave this place encouraged in heart, knowing that we are one day closer to being in your presence forever. And Lord, we give you praise for that promise. I pray the Lord would encourage your heart indeed, that he fill you afresh with himself, that he would draw you close, and that you would experience a new depth of relationship with him, that you might be spurred on to even greater works in the days ahead. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.